I did. That was good news to hear. I'd actually seen that on Twitter, and glad to hear the results going on. But doing fine. No one's doing as well as Nick Saban is today, but still at the same time.
Wasn't that shocking?
Glad that we got magazines out, and we're inching closer now toward SEC Media Days.
You know, is there ever at this point for people that are historic in what they do? We saw it with Albert Pujols. We've seen it with Mike Trout. We've seen it with NBA players all the time. At this point, people that are great at what they do, not only great, maybe the best of all time, which we can argue Nick Saban is, when you look at that, he's probably not going to be coaching at 2028. I'm not going to say that. I know Alabama, well, I just did, and Alabama fans are now upset. But at the same time, almost every great person is always going to get a few more years than maybe those people in the room are thinking because they've earned it. And really, at that point, whatever comes out of their agent's mouth to help them, they're going to sign.
Two things here. One is, I don't care what they pay him, he's still underpaid.
100%,
yeah. I mean, they could literally pay him $15 million a year, and he would still be underpaid for what he has done and what he's brought to university on many levels. And he gets so much out of it, frankly, that it gives him a lot of energy. And now, unless that changes in the next few years, I mean, look, his stomach's flatter than most men in their late 60s. Still has his hair, still has plenty of energy. And I remember talking to a parent whose son was going to Alabama, and he met with Saban at 10 o'clock at night and said that Saban had a lot more energy than he did at 10 o'clock at night. So he enjoys recruiting and beating his competition, getting players, particularly out of places like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as he did this weekend. So, at this point, SEC people don't like to hear it, but I think he's easily got another 5 years in him. Yes, if not 5 to 10, frankly.
Do you think there's a way, Brent, that he maybe not necessarily sticks around with football in particular, but after he's done coaching, do you think he would even consider being an athletic director in any facet, or do you think that he's just going to be done?
No. He would not want to. It's just not who he is. I can't see him being on the phone ordering supplies. That's just not who he is. And that's never going to happen for him. Now, what I could see happen for him would be something like what Urban Meyer was doing. He would be, frankly, unbelievable as an analyst. I don't mean an analyst. I don't know if I could ever see him doing games as much as he would be in the studio. And I'm sure ESPN would offer him an unbelievable amount of money after he's retired, because frankly, even now, he is probably pretty close to being the voice of the game in a lot of ways. So he will easily be doing something of that effect, but I don't ever see him doing anything like an athletic director job at this point.
Oh, and God bless his heart, but Lee Corso is not necessarily doing the best health wise. I think that he very well could take, not to say this will happen, but I think he could easily take his spot on College Game Day, and he could be fantastic at that. I know you mentioned studio, but even right there with College Game Day, that would be great. To me personally, at least.
Well, I mean, he would be. That's a good question. Would Saban want to do an entire show, or would he prefer to do kind of what Urban does or did, as he explains some general concepts and things of that nature. I could see him doing that. Now, look, that's a really good question about Corso. And I like Corso. I really do. The problem is, I understand this, his role is getting probably more reduced, and I could see them probably just keeping him in the role that he's got this past season, where he did some cameo appearances from his home in Orlando. Lee's been quoted several times as saying, and this is pretty funny when you think about it, he said, "I'm just stealing money." because of the role he's got, as long as he can put on the head of the mascot, they will probably keep him at least being able to do that. But that's a really good question for another day would be who might end up getting a bigger role or replacing him one day.
Yeah, it was almost like there was a couple episodes because they were doing it from his house, and it almost was like the puppy dog that is brand new, not falling into the pool. Like, there was guys, like, standing on the outside, like, making sure he was walking back okay to his back to his room. But, he's been – you know, there are some people, though, that earn the respect, and but there is that time. I remember Vern Lundquist, and I know Vern and Gary and Vern will always be close to everybody in the SEC's heart and college football in general when it comes to all the years. And Vern's gone far and beyond just when it comes to football, what he's done for golf, what he's done for NCAA basketball, everything. But I remember when he was doing a Georgetown game and he started to call them a team that wasn't even playing, George Mason. And he kept saying it over and over. And you knew at that point it just started to – It was at that point, you know, and you never want to see, but you come to the realization, the Dick Vitales, the folks like Chris Berman, there's a ton of them right now. Peter Gammons at one point when it came to baseball, it was going to happen, but these are legends, Vin Scully and what he's done for so many years and his retirement. But that was something where for Lee Corso, yes, he's always been kooky. He's always been out there, but he's been part of people's households for College Game Day for ever since I was a little kid, and I know even before that.
Well, they have done a marvelous job kind of keeping the band together. I mean, obviously, Reese is there now instead of Chris Fowler. Kirk Herbstreit's the one that holds that together, and as long as he's there, it will, I still think, be iconic. Desmond Howard obviously has his detractors. David Pollock comes in and out. I have wondered if Tim Tebow, when his playing career is ever over, if he may not get a bigger role in game day. Now, one thing I did notice this year about Dick Vitale is, frankly, they were broadcast. Dick's voice is not the same that it was. Now, he was able to still do the broadcast, and, he's still competent, but the unfortunate thing about that is, and you hit it, all these guys are in their 80s, and we're not discriminating against anyone, because if you can do it, you can do it. I don't care how old you are, but I think that is that's not an easy situation, is it, guys? When you're dealing with icons, and when to tell them either to take a reduced role or it's time to be to retire and go on your way.
Yeah, Brent, taking a look at Georgia real quick for this upcoming season, they just landed Eric Gilbert and Darion Kendrick from Clemson, two really big transfers to bring in. How exactly will they help the Gators, and how much do you think it actually helps them coming over to Athens?
I think the first thing for both those guys would be, as talented as they are, there are some hindrances with both of them. Gilbert, number one, who says he wants to be the a wide receiver instead of tight end, has some academic issues, and he's got to get those cleared up. We don't know what all that is, and being fair to him, hopefully he'll be able to do it with that too. So, and look, everybody's been raving about the Clemson transfer and what he's been able to do, what he might be able to do with them. But, I mean, I still say, and look, he's got what people may not realize. He was charged with possession of a gun and minor misdemeanor possession of marijuana. We're talking about Darion Kendrick. So he's going to get those things cleared up.
Wow.
Going on, too. And see, the other problem is, he was benched twice by Dabo Swinney when he was at Clemson. So there's some issues there with both these guys. But look, they get on the field and they're effective. They'll be very good. Both these guys are starters, and they're not just adding depth. They're starters. So, and I still think that Tyke Smith is maybe their biggest transfer. The kid coming over from West Virginia, he was a freshman All-American. And look, I mean, it wasn't all-conference. This was nationwide. So when you've got a guy that talented, he is tremendous. But, I mean, what Kirby Smart has done is what was a weakness for them is basically now a strength.
Brent, final question here. Looking at the decision by the SEC on Thursday, I know we haven't spoke since last Monday, but they cleared the way for a lot of the high-profile transfers, guys like Henry Toa. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And also Eric Gilbert, like we talked about. But the opportunities when you talk about long-term with this, when you talk about the transfer rule, is this? Do you think it was the right decision to be made?
Well, I think it was almost the only decision that they can make. Everyone else had made their decision to do it, and by making the decision to do it, and the SEC didn't, they would have been in trouble and fell behind some of the other conferences, even as good as they could recruit. So. If you look at it like that, I think it probably is. The problem, though, and people still don't understand NIL and transfer as far as I think the unintended consequences and where that might go. I really do wonder what's going to happen with this. The deadline of February the 1st is interesting. I wonder if that's going to be amended one day, too, because that is before spring practice and the spring game. And it's actually before signing day. So, but maybe that's when the coaches wanted it because they would have it over and done with before signing day came. So there's still a whole lot with these rules that, guys, that we have no clue, frankly, where some of this is going yet.